the main thrust of it is make the main thing the main thing. And we need to make the main thing the main thing. And so I want to talk to you about that today as we talk about focus, as we talk about getting things in focus in our lives. And you know, so oftentimes we can get caught up in peripheral issues. And you know, there's just a lot to be said about staying focused on the main thing. See, all of you totally lost your focus right now. Now, I'm looking for a light. Not really. And if I were, I'd know where to come get it. Ooh. Now, there's a question. Why does this draw such attention? Why do we pay so much attention to what really is a peripheral issue? Now, please hear me clearly today. I better get another disclaimer out while I'm at it. I don't believe anyone should smoke, and I certainly don't believe anyone should drink alcohol. Contrary to one of the points I'm going to make later today in the message, but the point of it is, just as in Jesus' day, we've got a lot of people putting a lot of focus and a lot of emphasis on peripheral issues. Smoking, drinking, various aspects of life in that respect, very visible things. Remember when Jesus was on earth, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious people of the day, spent a lot of time talking about peripheral issues of the walk with God. And they were focusing on the Sabbath. You know, one of the, God bless his heart, and you know what that means. That's United States Southern for, boy, are you ever stupid. When I first came to the South, from the North to the South, and you know, people just looked at me, well, bless your heart. You know, and it took me a long time to figure out what they really meant. Boy, are you stupid. But I figured it out later. But we did our big serve, and a local pastor made a big deal about the fact that we did it on the Sabbath. And it just brought back to mind, excuse me, weren't those the words spoken against Jesus because he healed somebody on the Sabbath? And I'm going, come on, guys, where's the focus? Where's the emphasis? What's the real value? What's really important? And so today I pray that we can get on focus and you quit looking at my cigarettes, which aren't mine, and had to really do some work to come up with those and snuck them in today. But guys, I'm not condoning smoking. I think it's a terrible thing. But I will say this, that there's way too much emphasis on peripheral issues. We need to focus on the most important thing. See, if I went out after the service and lit up a cigarette, it'd freak you out. But you know, you probably will overlook my pride and my anger and some of the other aspects of my life. We don't pay attention to really the important things, the significant things. So let's put our focus on that today, and let's work at that today. You know, I think some questions that I'd like to see if we can answer a little bit today, and I'm not saying we have the answer, I have the answer, but I want to throw out to you some thoughts that maybe will help you find some answers. But you know, there are people who struggle with life, and life is so hard, and certainly for many, many people, life is so busy. So consuming, and there just seems for some people that just as they get through one problem, there's another problem. And how does that all work into the walk of a Christ follower, the walk of a person truly dedicated to God and truly dedicated to walk after that which God has ordained for our life? And I wanted to just share with you maybe some thoughts here and deliver to you one of the most profound statements you're going to hear this week, for sure. But you know, life is not heaven on earth. There are some people that proclaim that. Life is heaven on earth. But can I just say to you that I don't know that that really is apropos. Secondly, you'll hear a lot of people declare life is hell on earth. You ask somebody, how's life? Is hell on earth, man? Well, that's not true either. I think it's none of the above. And now, are you ready for this very, very profound statement? I better stand up. Most profound statement you're probably going to hear today. I really believe that life on earth is life on earth. I knew that would went right over Sam, but you know, I think two things. One is, I think we have sometimes live in a bubble and think that as a Christian, everything's just going to be easy and wonderful and heaven on earth. And then the other side of it is, every day is hell. Every day is hard. Every day is laborious. Every day is so difficult. It's perspective, isn't it? We're back to that again, aren't we? We need to have a worldview, and we need to have an eternal perspective as we're going to live this life as we ought to. The other night I was watching the Golf Channel, which if you have cable like I do, it's like channel 310. It's way up there. So I had to purposely get all the way up there, and I was just getting ready to go to bed. And as I was, I just flipped the channel thing on the button. I was turning off lights in the living room, but it jumped up a couple channels, and I didn't really know that it was there. But you know what's up a couple channels from that is the country music video channel. See, some of you knew that. And that's a scary thought all by itself. But up there on the country music video channel, I was turning off a light, and I thought I heard the guy say something about God. And so I caught my attention, and so I went back and sat down on the edge of the couch, and sure enough, and he's singing away and telling a story, as many country western songs do, and in this story that he's sort of singing out, man, he gives out this incredible, profound philosophy of life. So I thought I'd share it with you today. It starts out like this: God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. Now, some of you know this song. That's the scary part of it all. You know, the guy is at least, now listen to me, he is at least 33 1/3% correct. He may very well be 67% correct. And I'll let you figure out which one of the other two is right. God is good. Excuse me, God is great. Beer is good and people are crazy. Now, there's a philosophy of life, isn't it? Doesn't probably really line up with your core values. It certainly doesn't line up with mine. But so oftentimes we lose focus of our core values. So oftentimes our lives are not really living out or walking out what we really truly say we believe is important, we believe is the center point. And so today I want us to work on focus. I want us to work on getting back to the basics. I want us to make the main thing the main thing. And I want us to be aware that there are a lot of distractions out in the world today. There are a lot of distortions. There are a lot of things that take us off center, if you will, off true north of our compass, off of that focal point that God's ordained for our life. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you, and I declared the message to be the center of it all. And I want to reread that scripture to you, and then we're going to go a little bit further on this week in that same thought. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. See, so oftentimes I think in society we tend to grow up and learn that there is a time for church. We take time for church. We find a way to come to church. But we should know by now that the church is more than a building. The church is more than a place to go. We are the church. Now, God has ordained for us to come together as a local body and worship together. And we're admonished to do that. But we are the church. Every day, everywhere we go, we're the church. We need to come together in a local church to connect, to grow, and to serve. To learn how to interact and be a part of each other's lives and to truly become family and not just become friends, but really become close to one another and helping one another. And here's the focal point of it all. It's summed up in these two statements. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. It's not complicated, is it? It's very simple. But you know how oftentimes we lose track of that. We get off focus with that. We get real concerned about peripheral issues. We've got to come back to the basics, and we've got to come back to the main thing being the main thing. And here's the main thing. The main thing is that you and I love God, and you and I love others. Luke 10:27, Jesus is answering a question, and he says this. And he replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Notice how much we're to love God with. Heart, soul, mind, emotion, and will. Strength, physical and natural, mind, everything focused on our love for him. And then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you know this story at all, it's a lawyer, an attorney, that's asking this question of Jesus. And like attorneys are, what does he do? But he looks for a loophole. So he comes back and he goes, "Yeah, but who's my neighbor?" Looking for a way out. And that's where Jesus unfolds the story that we commonly refer to as the story of the Good Samaritan. Y'all are pretty familiar with the story. The guy's beaten up alongside of the road. But you know, we talk about that part of the story, and that's an important element to talk about. But you know, the real crux of this matter and this issue is, it really is a description that Jesus is telling this lawyer of who his neighbor is. You know who his neighbor is? A stranger. Out of town stranger. Walking on a road or going on a path, or you could be today driving by, it, you could totally ignore and nobody would ever know it, stranger. And he says, Jesus did, that's your neighbor. And of course, anyone closer than that would obviously be your neighbor. That's your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Stranger. Someone hurting, somebody wounded, somebody having a rough time. But you know, religious people walked right on by him. People capable of helping him walked right on by. But this man did something. He had an action. Love has to have an action to truly be love. Do you understand? Faith works by what? Love. It's motivated by love. But you've got to show it. You've got to demonstrate it. You can't just tell somebody, "I love you," and never, ever have a correlative response to that. Doesn't line up, does it? Love God, love others. Can we just all say that together right now? Love God, love others. Let's do it again. Love God, love others. You know, our actions, our behavior is very, very loud. And I want to read you a little passage from a book I'm reading right now. I've entitled it Louder Than Trains. You'll understand it in a while. I grew up in a home that wasn't real peaceful. When I read this, it brought back some memories that I wasn't particularly wanting to have brought back. But sometimes it's all right. It's good. Stirred me up. Made me think. Good to think once again. Our home sat near a railroad with acres of tracks planted like row crops that produced a year-round yield of multicolored boxcars and a round-the-clock clang of crossing bells. Day and night, the cars collided in a steady, drum-like rhythm as screeching engines slammed them together to form mile-long strings that chugged out of the yard with hobos in hot pursuit. Sort of dates it, doesn't it? Now, playing second fiddle to the rail yard symphony were the grain elevators and the dog food plant, which produced an uninterrupted, high-pitched whine. But none of these noises was as obnoxious or caustic as my parents' constant fighting. Love God, love others. We think of the Good Samaritan, we think of something where we reach out and do this outreach and we help people, and that's really good. But loving God and loving others starts right here. Starts in your home. See, every one of us in a lifetime, researchers tell us, even the most introverted of you will influence over 7,000 people in your life. What about some of us who are a little bit more extroverted? How many, literally hundreds of thousands of people might we influence? I was influenced by that kind of behavior in my home. It wasn't pleasant. I've lost my temper on more than one occasion and did my fair share of screaming and shouting and yelling as well. Better than the home I grew up in, but still not everything it should be. And I'm not here to judge and condemn and criticize. I'm just here to help us get back on focus. What's taking you off course from your destiny? What's taking us off focus from what God has ordained? It's not really complicated. Life is not that hard. Life is not that difficult. And life is not that mysterious. Life is really relatively simple. And it's summed up in love God and love others. And watch what happens out of that. And it needs to start right from the house. Start in your own life. And I realize that some of you, you can't control everything about, but you can control you. And you can stay out of strife yourself. You can purpose not to be strifeful at work. I had this thought about how quiet would our workplaces be if in fact, and how much more productive might they be, if in fact we ruled out all gossiping at work. Now I am presently proposing legislation to the state of Oklahoma to eliminate all gossiping in the workplace, and the penalty for it is you'll be shot. I think it has a good chance of passing, and I'm going to be the one that gets to execute the judgment. No, I'm just, love God, love others. Gossip has no place, does it? Strife has no place in the home, does it? Does it? Does it? God's plan, God's will for us is peace and joy. Matthew 6:33 really helps us understand the simplicity of life. Seek first right standing with God, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And then all these other things, what other things? Food, clothing, housing, all these other things will be added to you. But may I ask a question of you today? How many of you spend a significant amount of time thinking about things? I understand the responsibility we have as men to be providers in our home, and God bless all of you ladies that work out of the home and help provide in this day that we live in, but may I just say to you, we've got to be guarded against the lack of focus. We've got to be guarded against this getting off center. It's time for us to get our lives back on center. And I think in so doing, it'll simplify things. It'll make things a lot easier. I read an account in a good book here. I was going to read from it, but I'm just going to share it with you. Of the analogy between our lives and our being on board of a motorboat or a sailboat. And we tend to like the motorboats. And you know why? We feel like we're more in control. We can start it, we can stop it, we can put fuel in it, we're in charge. But the real way that we're to live is like a sailboat, where we're totally dependent upon some other force to propel us through this life. Our responsibility is to gain a sense of knowledge and understanding of how things are and how things are going to be. And a good sailor can look at the skies and tell what's happening and pick up where the wind's coming from. And you know what he does? He simply adjusts his sail. And as he adjusts his sail, that's all he does. And then it's the wind of the Spirit that carries us forward in life. Don't you think that's a lot better way? Don't you think that sounds like a God way? Don't you think it's time that you took the motor off the boat, put up a sail, and said, come on, God, let's journey through this life together. Show me the way. You know, the other thing is, he knows how to help you avoid the minefields of this life. This world is filled with minefields. Bad things happen to good people. I don't have all the answers for why that happens. I do my best to listen to the Holy Spirit and let him be my GPS, if you will, and guide me and lead me. But you know, I've hit a few minefields in my life. You've hit some in your life. And certainly there are those round about us, friends and family, that have been devastated by the work of the enemy. God didn't do it. God is altogether good. I will always stand up here and defend that God is a good God. But we live in a world that's under a curse and there's a terrorist loose. And I want to suggest to you today that it's very important that you get your focus back. I want to suggest to you today that you stop being distracted and stop chasing after this and that and all these things that are around you. And I think it's time for us to really realize that what God has called us to do is to love him with all of our heart. And then we're to reach out and love others. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 15, one phrase of it in the Message translation says, if you love me, show it. If you love me, show it. I was standing in a church service singing, or that we could call it worship. Back in those days, we didn't have praise and worship leaders. We had song leaders. Most of you are too young to remember these days, and you probably won't remember the song, but the song or chorus that we were singing that day was, I love you with the love of the Lord. Almost wanted to break into my Oscar Mayer Wiener song because it's about in the same era, but I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. May they see in thee the glory of our King. Something. Now you know why I'm not up here. And when we were doing it, the song leader said, why don't you go and sing that to the people around you? Just stand up, Chad. Chad's about the size of my friend Dave Rohde. Actually, Dave's a little taller. How tall are you? He's 6'7". I won't ask you how much you weigh, but I think you weigh about the same as he does, but that's okay. So I go up to my friend Dave, and I go, I love you with the love of the Lord. And you know what Dave does? He drops my hand and says, then show. That wasn't very nice. Song leader didn't tell them to say things like that. Do you know, it's one of the greatest life lessons I've ever had. A close friend, we went to college together, we taught school and coached in Michigan together, and we ended up living in the same city in Wisconsin together. He was a guidance counselor and I was in business, and he spoke the truth to me in love, even though he said it in a very strong way. He had to, because I was so caught up in me. I was so caught up in my own world. I was chasing my career with everything within me, and I was making lots of money, and I was just pursuing me, my interests, my hobbies, my thing. And I lost my friends, nearly did. Today, I still have a very good friend in Dave Rohde. Pick up the phone any moment. We don't see each other as much. Call him in a moment's notice. Spend the night at his house. Just dear, dear friend. But friends will speak the truth to you in love. And Dave Rohde helped me that day because my life was out of focus. Dave Rohde helped me that day because he spoke the truth to me in love. Strong as it was, I want to encourage us to simplify our life, making the main thing the main thing. Jeremiah 29:11, we know the passage. God's plans are all good. I mentioned Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God. How complicated is that? It's not complicated. It's simple. John 16:33 says, we're going to have difficulties. We're going to have problems. There are going to be issues in life, frustrations, problems. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then he goes on in 1 John 5:4. It tells us, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. What is our faith? It's simply our trust in God. Do you trust God? When you don't have the answer for the question or the problem or the situation, do you trust God? When you don't know why something very bad happened to some very good people, do you still trust God? See, it's not a variable that you get to check out when it doesn't go your way. And then you can say, well, God's not really there for me and I'm mad at God, or I'm... And you run across people like that. I don't believe there are any in here. I trust there aren't. Mad at God? He's altogether good. He has nothing but good plan for you. Maybe the issue's us. You know, and maybe the issue is we're doing our very best, but the enemy hit us anyway because there's a terrorist loose. I don't know. I just know this, that no matter what comes my way, I want to endeavor to love God and to love others. I want to endeavor to continue to trust God. And that's my word to us today. It's not complicated. It won't be lengthy. I'm about done. It's not hard. You had some bad things happen just a couple of weeks ago. Lost a dear friend. It's an accident. We know it was an accident. They weren't even, boys weren't even goofing around with it. It just, the gun fell and your friend's gone now. That's life. That's not heaven on earth. We understand that. We have to deal with these issues. But it's not hell on earth either, because we came through that. And out of that, Christian, you can become stronger. A peace came to you that you couldn't explain. It didn't make any sense, did it? But you had it. No one could tell you you didn't have it. Peace that passes all understanding, it's ours. Love God, everything that's within us. Love others. Love others in a big serve day. That's good. But love others when you're home and nobody knows but you and your family. Be the same person at home that you're in public. Develop that kind of godly character. Walk in love all the time. Psalm 23, I'm not going to read it to you. Most of you almost could recite it. But I am going to point out to you some wonderful characteristics and promises that we have from that passage. I lack nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. I'm led. I'm fed. I have peace. I'm not afraid. I'm safe. I'm blessed. And I'm loved. What if all of us, and what if all of the Christ followers in this community really got back on focus and everything was about loving God and loving others? What transformation might there be in this community? What might happen if we truly committed to that on a consistent basis? You see, the Word of God says that non-believers, non-Christ followers, will actually know we're believers by our love for one another. Are you truly loving one another? Are you putting your selfish desires aside? Are you putting your petty preferences aside? Are you letting go of those things that don't really matter anyway, and you just got your focus? But I'm going to tell you, when you spend enough time just loving God, you can't help loving other people. It just comes out of you. It's in you. I hope you get a chance to come back on Wednesday night. We're going to talk about inside out. It's all about from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. As we close this morning, there's no better picture that I know of God, of His character, and how He responds, than the story that we refer to as the prodigal son story. Most of you know it. This young man asked for his inheritance, went out, and he blew it. And he made terrible decisions and got into some real messes. And yet he finally woke up. And the minute he woke up, he started toward home. Scripture tells us that his father saw him a long ways off, which sort of tells me he was looking for him anyway. I wonder how many days he looked for him and went back home that night and he wasn't there. Didn't sound like he quit looking. He kept looking. God's looking for you. No matter where you are today, no matter what you've done, no matter what mistakes, how bad you've messed things up, God's looking for you today. And here's the beautiful thing. When He sees you, He doesn't point an accusing finger like religious people would do. On the Sabbath, you cleaned the streets? What's wrong with you? No, He doesn't point His finger. You know what He did? He ran to Him. And you know what happens every time we just turn and look towards God? He runs to us because He loves you that much. And then He puts the coat on and we have a party and we celebrate because He's a good God. Today you could be here and you may never have entered into that wonderful relationship with God that you can have only as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I want to introduce you to Him today. Or maybe you've had a little bit of a prodigal experience in your own life and you feel not where you once were. But it's time right now to love God, to love others, to simplify your life. Would you pray this with me? We love to pray this prayer here at Life Church. We call it a believer's prayer. Last Wednesday night, we had 20 or so people baptized, declaring their commitment to be a Christ follower. Isn't that awesome? We do that several times a year. I'm excited about how many people will be baptized this next year. It's exciting. God's doing a great work. But I believe He'll do even a greater work as we just simply love God, love others. Pray this with me. Say, Father, I know You love me. And I know You sent Your Son Jesus, died for me, was buried for me, and He rose again for me. Thank You for Your love. Thank You that You're looking for me. Today, I declare Jesus Christ, the Son of the God, took away all my sins. I'm forgiven. Thank You, Lord. If you prayed that prayer today for the very first time, or if you prayed that prayer as a commitment to just get back and focus with God, our staff and others, life group leaders will be up here. They'll pray with you, help you. If you need prayer for healing or